Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Have you noticed in your life that sometimes people get hurt very easily, and some people, they just don't get hurt easily and easily recover. And sometimes people who can progress and learn very effectively and efficiently and swiftly in the Dharma or in anything. And sometimes people learn very slowly. Sometimes people learn very quickly, and sometimes people learn very slowly. What are the factors? Yes, you may say IQ. Okay? Some people say, yeah, some people's IQ is higher, some people's IQ is lower. Yeah, it's true. It is true. And sometimes people may say, oh, EQ, emotional intelligence. Also correct. But when we talk about human potentials, in the Dharma practice, there's no point you compare yourself with another. If that comparison only give rise to more pride and conceit, it doesn't serve any good purpose. What we want to do for our life is make the best potential that you can. If you have the potential to climb 1,000 stairs, and you only, for some reason, due to internal inhibitions or self-inflicted hindrances, and then you only reach up to 500 steps or 700 steps, then it is a pity. In that aspect, we say, Dharma, you're not making the best of your potentials. So this is what we care. We don't really bother to compare who progress well, who progress bad. No, this is not the most important thing because everyone's different. Our potentials, our upbringing, our background, all are different. How to compare? You cannot compare one with another. But for yourself, would you wish to perform to the best of your potential? I'm sure you would like to do that, right? Yes, this is the key, what I want to share with you tonight, today. The one big thing that hinder us and cause us to be, to sometimes unhappy, easily hurt, easily shaken, affected by externalities, by what happened outside or what happened inside even. That is a pity that we underutilize our human potentials. One, this factor is our sense of self. You see, when you learn from someone, if you have the No, put aside learning first. Let's say you have a, you see, ego or self. You see, it make a big difference. I used to give a example, a simile, that if the ego is like that, okay, this big, like a target, a red target, then you need a very good archer. They put it 100 meters away or 50 meters away. You need a very good archer to shoot the arrow and hit the target if it is this small. If you have a ego, that's like the heaven, so big. So any blind man can just take an arrow and shoot at you and hurt you. But if you are non-self, You don't have the ego completely? No. Then, even the smartest archer in the world cannot hit you. Because you're just a space. How can the arrow hurt the space? Cannot. So this is what we mean by, if you really know the best way to protect yourself is to let go of your ego. Yes. What do we mean? When we let go of, we use the ego, the word I, in a very general sense. But in the Dhamma, it is very specific. It is very, very specific. It refers to the wrong view of self, I, to the attachment, oh, this is mine. And this is my, I, this is more to conceit. And myself, then sometimes you refer to that as a, you know, the wrong view of you, wrong understanding that an I exists. Wrong understanding exists that I own something. I own, you own your family, you own this, you own your son, you own your couple or whatever. All these sense of I own the money, whatever, is own mine. And then, the idea, then the sense, the kind of conceited ego, that makes us hurt. That makes our mind lose the sense of pliancy, the softness, the proficiency. You see, when you meditate, you need to have the kaya, lauta citta lauta, the sense. This, I don't complicate you by differentiating this kaya and citta. It refers to the lightness of mind. Pasadi, the tranquility of mind. The muduta, softness of mind. Kamanyata, the adaptability of mind. Pagunyata, proficiency of the mind. And that kaya ujuta, citta ujuta, the uprightness of the mind. These six paths of qualities in Abhidhamma, according to the 19 good, beautiful states, the 19 beautiful states. Out of the 19 beautiful states, you have 12 mental states, chatasika, which refers to these qualities. And when you notice that when you might have this kind of softness, this kind of adaptability, this kind of proficiency, that you can learn, you know, such people, they adjust the mind, adjust very fast, transform very quickly. Some people just transform very quickly, just let go very easily. Just like that. Why? Because their minds are equipped with these qualities. Then, when these qualities are hindered, they are hindered when this, we believe there's an I, the sense of self, myself, mine. When this arises in our mind, immediately you notice these six paths of mental qualities vanish from your mind. Then, all meditators, I'm sure you have experienced, when the mind is not light, when the mind is not tranquil, when the mind is not soft, when the mind is not adaptable, when the mind is not proficient, when the mind is not upright, then you notice very difficult to meditate. Jhana, oh, so hard. Inside knowledge, so hard to cultivate. Why? Because the mind is not pliant, not equipped with these qualities, which is very useful to discover the realities, true nature of life. And now, of course, there are many factors. All defilements hinder these qualities. But the biggest of all these root cause of all the problems is actually this we call sense of I. So, how to overcome it? We know, all of us know, well, you have a pride, you have an ego that makes you easily hurt and make you difficult to learn, difficult to adjust, difficult to transform, difficult to be aloof, difficult to adapt. Then, how? Just by pointing out the problem doesn't solve the problem. We need to have a solution, a method, very efficient method to solve the problem. And look at what the Buddha teaches us in Anathalakana Sutta. So, we need to, let's go through it and learn how to apply the wisdom in Anathalakana Sutta, the discourse on non-self characteristics. Apply this wisdom taught by the Buddha so that we don't get easily hurt. So that we are proficient, our minds careful, the quality, so that we don't need to suffer unnecessarily. You know? In Chinese, we have the word, when we say suffer unnecessarily, we mean 折腾. 折腾 means you twist and turn like that, for nothing. You're wasting your energy, you're wasting your efficacy, proficiency. Yeah. So, now, let's look at this sutta. Okay, you have that, huh? Okay, this sutta at the beginning, Patana, this is we call Sarnathana in this place. Sarnathana, if you go to India, near Varanasi. This is a holy place. In this sutta, this is the third sutta the Buddha taught to human. Hey, second sutta taught to human. Third sutta the Buddha taught. Third or fourth. Between Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first Sutta, and Anathalakkana Sutta, the Buddha taught Dhamma to Devas. But for human, this is the second Sutta the Buddha taught. To the five bhikkhus, the five monks, Panchavagiya bhikkhu. Okay. The Buddha started like that. At that time, all the bhikkhus, all the five bhikkhus were already Sotapan. The stream enterer, who have attained the first stage of sainthood. So this is the Buddha was teaching so that to help them to attain arahantship. From first stage of sainthood, move higher. Yeah. But actually in the first Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, Buddha already taught them four noble truths already. They know. Later you'll see that the way the Buddha shows that they already know anicca dukkha anatta. They already have a certain high level of training. It's not so simple. Huh? The sutta looks simple, but why you don't get enlightened after reading it? It means actually there's something more instruction behind the suttas. Actually, in the commentary was taught that even the suttas, the Buddha taught Dhammacakkappavattana suttas long time. After the Venerable Kondanya attained first stage of sainthood, he went out to go for alms round and brought back food and distribute the food for other monks to eat. And the Buddha to eat, and then, you know, then so that they continue the lesson and teaching. Now that's very wonderful. So let's see, look at it this way. Now, we look at the gist of this teaching. Okay. Rupang bikave anatta. That's the second paragraph, the Pali. Let's look at the Pali. Rupang bikave anatta. Rupanja hidang bikave atta abhavisa. Naida rupa abadaya sangvateya labeta cha rupe evang me rupang hotu evang me rupang ma aho siti yasma cha ko bikave rupang anatta tasma rupa abadaya sangvatati na cha labati rupe evang me rupang hotu evang me rupang ma aho siti. Form, monks, this form, physicality, form, monks is non-self. For if form was self, this form would not lead to affliction. And in regard to form, wishing, may this form of mine be this, be thus. May this form of mine not be thus, would be possible. It means, if it is I, mine, then you can say, oh, I want this. Yeah, what belongs to you, you can decide, I want it this way, I want it that way. But you cannot do that. But since monks, form is non-self. Therefore, form leads to affliction. Right now, you get sick, right? Sometimes you get unhappy, your body not well, getting old, not well. Now, this is affliction. So, form is non-self. Therefore, form leads to affliction. And in regard to form, wishing, may this form of mine be thus, may this form of mine not be thus, is not possible. This idea is not possible. This idea, this way of thinking is not possible. This wish is, doesn't bear fruits. It doesn't bear fruits. So then we see the Buddha move on to next. Vedana anatta. Vedana cha hidang bikaya atta abhavisa. Na hidang vedana abhadaya sangvateya. Labeta cha vedanaya. Ewang me vedana hotu. Ewang me vedana mahositi. Yasma chako bikaya vedana anatta. Tasma vedana abhadaya sangvatati. Na cha labati vedanaya. Ewang me vedana hotu. Ewang me vedana mahositi. Feeling monks is non-self. For if feeling was self, this feeling would not lead to affliction. And in regard to feeling, wishing, may this feeling of mine be thus, may this feeling of mine not be thus, would be impossible. But since monks, feeling is non-self. Therefore, feeling leads to affliction. And in regard to feeling, wishing, may this feeling of mine be thus, may this feeling of mine not be thus, is not possible. Right or not, have you experienced this? Sometimes, of course we want good feeling, but it doesn't work. Now we say, don't hurt, let me not be hurt. But you get hurt. You don't feel good. For whatever reason, all sorts of reasons. Whether, what people say, how people regard you, respect or no respect, you know? Or people care about you, not care about you. Or sometimes you get what you wish, you don't get what you wish. All of these affect feelings. Why? You tell yourself, I don't want to be hurt. You know someone, you lose someone that you love so much, and then you get hurt. You know you cannot bring back the person alive. You cannot bring back, but you get hurt. Why? Yeah, it is non-self. Yeah, it's not at your command, this nature. This is the gross perspective of non-self. Later we move on. In there are three aspects of non-self in this sutta. But this is the gross part, which every one of you can understand. Without practicing vipassana, you can understand. But later, the deeper level, it requires insight knowledge, dharma practice. Again, you read, Sanya anatta. Sanya cha hidang bikoy atta bhavisa. Na hidang sanya abhadaya sangvateya. Labeta cha sanyaya ewang me sanya hotu, ewang me sanya maho siti. Yasma cha ko bikoya sanya anatta, tasma sanya abadaya sangvatati. Nacha labati sanyaya ewang me sanya hotu, ewang me sanya maho siti. Perception, monks, is non-self. For if perception was self, the perception would not lead to affliction. And in regard to perception, wishing, may this perception of mine be thus, may this perception of mine not be thus, would be possible. But since monks, perception is non-self. Therefore, perception leads to affliction. And in regards to perception, wishing, may this perception of mine be thus, may this perception of mine not be thus, is not possible. See, sometimes, we tell you, you look at someone you just don't like. I say, why? This person never hurt you. You know, sometimes two persons, they may look at the same object. But some people feel happy, some people don't feel happy. Why? Perception. You think the cow dung is bad? But the flies perceive the cow dung to be food, to be good. This is perception. This is perception. So, sometimes you tell yourself, I don't want to perceive it badly. I want to perceive it nicely. But sometimes out of control, you cannot do. But later I'll share with you what to do with it. There's not completely helpless. We can do a lot of things to help ourselves. But first you need to recognize that not by a command you can make it change. Then how? Hopeless? You cannot do anything? No, not like that. Later I'll tell you what you can do. Perception is non-self. So sometimes you perceive something badly, even though you don't want to perceive that bad, but you happen to do it based on some reason, maybe past life background, conditions or whatever, past experience, maybe, certain kind of trauma in the mind, it affects your perception. Some people are very afraid of height. Oh, they see the height. Oh, so high, huh? They're very afraid. Some people are not afraid of height. You know? In the past also, all of us we are afraid of ghosts. I actually changed my perception about ghosts. When I changed my mind, I said, oh, let me regard them as friends. They are just friends. They are just another being. Then this is okay. And in fact, I tried that on some people. You know, there's one girl from Shanghai, huh? She could see, you know, all the beings, you know, they could see. So when she saw, worry, you know, a little worry. I said, no, this is life. There are beings everywhere. Just people, some people can see, some people cannot see. That's it. What you see is not wrong. It's okay. Continue. Don't worry. Just regard them as friends. Now she's studying in Monash University, you know, in Malaysia. She came and studied here and now, okay, very lively, very happy person. Sometimes came here to Semenye, came to our monastery. I know if you're here around, next time you want to talk to her, very nice. Now she's very bright. Sometimes she's very bright. Perception. You see, when she worry, I say, no, nothing to worry, this is just life, part of life, part of nature. Then when you regard it like that, perception change. Then your feeling change. Okay? This is perception. Okay? Then turn to page 30. Sankhara anatta. Sankhara chahidang bikaya atta abhavi sangsu. Naidang sankhara abhadaya sangvateyung. Labeta cha sankharesu. Ewang me sankhara hontu. Ewang me sankhara mahesunti. Jasma cha ko bikaya sankhara anatta. Rasma sankhara abhadaya sangvatanti. Nachalabadi sankharesu. Ewang me sankhara hontu. Ewang me sankhara mahesunti. Volitional formations amongst a non-self. What is this volitional formation? Including your mindfulness, including just like I said, the six pairs of qualities of mind, all the mental states, all the greed, anger, mental states, all belong to this. Volitional formations. So sometimes you say, oh, now I've got concentration, ekagata. Then for some reason, you know, you play too much, you enjoy too much, then you come back. You no longer master the concentration anymore. Why? Because it is impermanent. Because you don't give it, you don't feed it with sufficient supporting qualities, then it fall down. Because why? It is impermanent. Not by attaining jhana, you can always maintain your jhana. You need to cultivate it and maintain it by certain methodology. Okay? So, yeah, it goes up and down, this thing. It happened. So because this formation, they are also anatta, in the same way. We don't need to go through. So in the same way, you cannot command it. Then the last one, out of the five aggregates of clinging, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhara, vijnana. Okay? Form, feeling, sometimes they translate as materiality, rupa. Okay? Form, material is not so precise, but form, okay? Form, feeling, perception, volitional formations and consciousness. Okay. Vijnana anatta. Vijnanancha hidang bikave atta abhavisa. Naidang sanya vijnana abhadaya sangvateya. Labeta cha vijnane evang me vijnanang hotu. Evang me vijnanang mahositi. Jasma cha ko bikave vijnana anatta. Tasma vijnana abhadaya sangvatati. Nacha labati vijnane evang me vijnanang hotu. Evang me vijnanang mahositi. Consciousness among is non-self. For if consciousness was self, the consciousness would not lead to affliction. And you regard the consciousness, wishing, may this consciousness of mine be thus, may this consciousness of mine not be thus. Would be possible. But since among consciousness is non-self, therefore consciousness leads to affliction. And you regard the consciousness, may this consciousness of mine be thus, may this consciousness of mine not be thus, is not possible. Sometimes some people's consciousness, sometimes mind is very bright, some people's mind is very dark, sometimes very, very effective, very strong, not easily hurt. Some people very easily shaken. Not everyone's mind is strong, it's in the same way. Some very strong, some very weak. So, this vedana, feeling, perception, and volitional formation, they belong to cetasika. It's a kind of a mental states. Mental states and mind, they are, mental states are the state of the mind. So you cannot separate this. So these four things, feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness, you cannot separate. They always come together. Just like water and the states of water, you cannot separate. When you have water, you have the states of water. Right? So yeah, it's in the same way. And so, this is classified under nama. Nama, mentality. And rupa is materiality. Nama rupa. Okay? Now, how do you apply this to avoid our self-inflicted problems to ourselves in terms of getting hurt, being happy, and efficiency in our cultivation or meditation practice or learning? How? Actually, you see, when you feel hurt, you feel unhappy. You feel unhappy. Well, what happened to your understanding, your attention? You are paying attention to the unpleasant things. You know? You are paying attention to unpleasant things. Actually, the phenomena is there. Unhappy feeling is there. The feeling, unhappy feeling. Let's say feeling. Unhappy feeling is there. But because your attention is, I am unhappy, my feeling is bad, you feel even worse feeling. And that feeling doesn't go away easily. In fact, it can worsen. But if you, with the understanding of this sutta, you pay right attention, actually the nature of non-self is appearing in front of you. If you pay attention, instead of paying attention that I, the illusion of I get hurt, you pay attention to the nature of anatta. Yeah. Now I know what the Buddha said in the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the first portion. It's true. I cannot command my feeling. I cannot want it this way or that way. It is bad. It is unpleasant. I don't like it, but it is there. So you look at it, oh, okay, it is like that. If you pay attention to the nature of anatta, wisdom arises. You have different wisdom. And when wisdom arises, you know Abhidhamma? The wisdom mind and the default mind never coexist in the same consciousness. In one single consciousness, you cannot have these two both. You cannot. So when you apply wisdom, wise attention, yoniso manasikara, wise attention on the true nature of anatta, then wisdom arises. Instead of pining away, oh, feeling sad, I feel bad. No, you allow yourself a chance to cultivate wisdom, taking the true nature of phenomena as object. Still, their feelings may not pass immediately, but with continuous application of wise attention and with the continuous flow of arising of wisdom thought process, wisdom consciousness, then you give no chance for the unwholesome feeling to arise. You are not suppressing your feeling. You are replacing it with wisdom, making good use of the unpleasant object or unpleasant vipaka, whatever you call it. Something unpleasant and something unfavorable to you, take good advantage of it. See the true nature of life, the anatta nature, and use it to arouse good quality, parami, panya parami. Then you notice this power of Dhamma already appears in your mind. This understanding of anatta is a power, is a Dhamma power. When we refer to Dhamma power, we refer to all these. Patience, tolerance, forgiving, these are all Dhamma powers. And this is most powerful Dharma powers. The wisdom of non-self. Even though at this level still low, this is a reflective knowledge of non-self. It belongs to what kind of wisdom? Now you listen to me, it's Sutta Maya Panya. Hearing knowledge. But when you reflect, in my situation, it is actually anatta. So this is Chinta Maya Panya. Reflective reasoning knowledge. Later, you will come to Bhavana Maya Panya. Direct insight into the true nature of non-self. Okay? Now, so this part, everyone can apply. If you really want to apply this anatta knowledge, anatta Dharma power in your life, everyone can do. As long as you understand this portion of Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Just the first portion. But it is not conclusive, not absolute. The result is not absolute. This reflective knowledge alone cannot liberate you completely without remainder. Cannot liberate you, cut off your defilements completely without remainder. Because it requires a lot of mindfulness, a lot of remembrance in order to apply this. And not easy. Not easy. It cannot uproot the anusaya defilement, the heat latent tendency. You cannot. But it is helpful enough to free your life from a lot of suffering. Can free your life from a lot of suffering. A lot of self-inflicting suffering. Self-inflicted suffering. A lot of inefficiency in your Dharma practice, in your meditation. So helpful. This alone is so helpful. But don't expect, know your tool. If your tool is not perfect, don't expect a perfect result. Then we should progress to higher tool. What is this tool? The tool of vipassana. A tool of vipassana. Samatha vipassana. Okay. Now let's continue the second portion of this Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Okay. Page 30, the second last paragraph, or third paragraph. Tangking manyata bikaya rupang nichang wa nichang wati, anichang bande, yang pernah nichang dukang watang sukang wati, dukang bande, yang pernah nichang dukang viparinama damang kalang lutang sama lupa situng, etang mama eso hama si eso me atati no hetang bande. Monks, what do you think? Is form permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, Venerable Sir. That which is impermanent, is it unsatisfactory or satisfactory? Unsatisfactory, Venerable Sir. That which is impermanent, unsatisfactory, and subject to change. Is it suitable to consider this is my, this I am, this is myself? Certainly not, Venerable Sir. Can you see something special here? All the five monks answer unanimously in the same way, without any hesitation, without any doubt, affirmatively. Okay? Is form permanent, impermanent? This is easy to answer. Okay, this is impermanent. Oh yeah, I get old. You know, my skin wrinkles appear. Eyesight also weakening. Oh, this is very obviously impermanent, very easy to know. But the second one, what is impermanent? Is it unsatisfactory or satisfactory? Ordinary people may have two answers, you know. Some people say, yeah, because of impermanence, I recover from my sickness. So impermanence is also good, no? Now you get sick, then you change. You get healthy again, recover. So this impermanence is good. How can you say no good? But the five monks answer unanimously from the, it is unsatisfactory. What does it mean? It means it is not superficial impermanence anymore. This is the impermanence of ultimate realities. Remember, these five monks already sotapan when they listen to this sutta. And sotapan already know four noble truths. And what is first noble truth? Five aggregates of clinging. Yeah, we have superficial pain. You don't get what you want. You separate from what you love. You associate what you don't love. You know, you can see all the sickness, all these things are suffering. But sankitena panchuparana khanda dukkha, eventually. At the end, the Buddha say, in short, all five aggregates of clinging are suffering. That means this. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. These are the five aggregates of clinging. This is suffering. It means the ultimate reality, the incessant arising and passing away of Nama Rupa, of these five aggregates. And for those of you who have practiced this, you already know. Not a single moment you can say, call a stop to it. You cannot stop. Yeah, no doubt when you refer, you check, you can freeze the moment. But the true nature of this kalapa, this ultimate reality, earth, water, fire, wind, eye transparency, ear, nose, tongue transparency, all the hadayavatu, the quality, all these arise and pass away without any hope for you to call it a stop. You can freeze a moment in your memory, yes, for analytical purpose. But you cannot, the actual happening, you cannot call a stop to it. That nature, when you practice with Vipassana, you penetrate this nature. All people who experience this, you unanimously agree that it is unsatisfactory. The only answer, you cannot have two answers, only one answer. Unsatisfactory, it is dukkha. This is oppressive. This is not something that you wish for, you would like to have it. So this level is already, the first part you can reflect, oh, this is not, it cannot happen according to my wish. So this is anatta. Okay, this everyone can understand. But the second portion of anatta, not easy to understand anymore. Not easy to understand anymore. Okay? So, then, is this what is changing, unsatisfactory, subject to change? Is it desirable? Or is it suitable to consider this is mine, this I am, this is myself? No. Anyone who come to this aspect, this level of vipassana, already have attained the beginning stage of asammoha sampajanya. Remember the four clear comprehensions? The last clear comprehension is asammoha sampajanya. Clear comprehension of non-delusion. What does it mean? It means penetrating the true nature of realities. This clear comprehension, you come to realize and appreciate this clear comprehension when you attain Namarupa Pariccheda Jnana. What is Namarupa Pariccheda Jnana? The distinguishing wisdom of what is mentality and what is materiality. This is the first time we really dispel delusion. The first time you really dispel delusion. Other delusions are superficial. This is a real, you see a reality. So this nature is changing, unsatisfactory, and you cannot call it a self. Just like you cannot grab the clouds or the smoke and say, oh, please be myself. No, cannot. You grab, cannot. A bit similar, not exactly the same. Huh? But a bit, this is similar only. But when you experience it, you will know that there's nothing you can call it a self, yours or whatever, because this is the nature of non-self. Okay? Likewise, you get the Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. Okay? Now the second portion, in the same formula, anicca, dukkha, anatta, on these five aggregates, it gives rise to the wisdom, the inside knowledge of non-self. It's a kind of insight, a non-self insight. Is it sufficient? No, not sufficient. Because the Buddha is it sufficient if you really don't? Sufficient in the sense you reduce and purify further. But you want to completely eradicate, the Buddha went on further to teach the 11 ways of practicing Vipassana. Okay? Look at page 31. Tasmat ia bikawe yang ginje rupang atita na kata pacupanna ajatangwa bhai dawa olarkangwa suku mangwa hinangwa panitangwa yang dure sandikewa sabang rupang netang mama nesa masmi nameso atati ewa metang yata butang sama panyaya data bang. Okay. Therefore monks, whatever form, whether past, future or present, internal or external, coarse or fine, inferior or superior, far or near, all form is to be seen as it is. As it is, this is very important. That means you are not in fancy, you are not creating, you are not imagining. As it is. With perfect wisdom thus, this is not mine, I am not that, this is not myself. Basically, it's just revert the etang mama eso amas eso me atati. Okay? This is my, this is I, this is myself. Switch over, revert is this. Okay? When you see a true nature, then the wrong illusion of I switch into non-self understanding. Okay? That means you no longer say this is I, this is myself, wrong understanding, this is a conceit, and then this is mine, and you own, you possess, no longer. You no longer this about form, feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness. You no longer grasp this as such. The illusion is dispelled in 11 ways. Past, future, and present. See, look at the Pali words. Ewa metang yatha bhutang samma panyaya databang. What does it mean? Yatha bhutang as they really are. Samma panyaya databang, using the wisdom to see. This expression is similar to the expression on the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta. Yatha bhutang jnana dasanang. Yatha bhutang as they really are. If it is like that, it's like, don't imagine. Jnana is the wisdom. Jnana and sammapanya is the same. Dasanang, seeing, penetrating. So you see the formula the Buddha used to help us to liberate. It's very simple. The science of liberation is very clear. Help you to dispel the delusion and illusion. Because it is this illusion on delusion of I, mine, myself, that give rise to a lot of greed, anger, and delusion. See, you can suppress your anger, but you cannot eradicate your anger. Because why? The anger is rooted in the sense of self. So in order to uproot this anger, you need to uproot the illusion that nourish your defilements. See, the Buddha's approach is very, very scientific. Very, very scientific. Because these nourish the defilements, so you cut off the nourishment of defilements, then no defilement, no chance arise. Cut at the root. Very powerful. So the technique, the way, the science of liberation is to help you to see reality as they really are. Yatha bhutang jnana dasanam. See things as they really are. Okay? Yeah. But what about past and future? We know present, yes. Past and future. People say vipassana, you don't practice on past and future. You practice on here and now. What the Buddha said? Very clearly. So many people misunderstand the word pachupanna. Live in the present moment. For those who have practiced vipassana in this approach, you have known when you see your past life. Okay? Already passed, it's your record. But you can still see the process, the arising and passing away. When you see your past life and you see your present and you see your future, it's almost similar. Or it's actually in the experiential why it's actually similar if you practice with the present mind. Moment, arising, passing away, you see the past and see the future, see the present, same. The only difference is, one is a record that you cannot change. One is a projection of energy that not yet happened, but you see the projection. And one is actually happening here and now. So now, past, present, past, future, and present. And internal, external. Internal is here, external are other people. Why? Why we want to do external? Because we want to overcome not only obvious defilements, we want to overcome latent defilements, hidden latent tendency. Just like you see the mango tree, you know? Now the mango all drop, you cut, take a pluck, pluck of all the mangoes. There's no mango. But will the mango tree produce mango? Yes. And where is this future mango hidden? You cannot find the trunk, you cannot find the leaves. It is there. Either in the nature of the mango tree to produce mango. So similarly, latent tendency is like that. So if you purify your mind moment to moment, you say, oh no, no, I want to be pure. No, I don't want to have defilement. I don't want to get angry. You are actually like plucking down the mango. But you're not cutting off the mango tree. So the mango will always produce mango tree when the season is right, when the conditions are right. You produce again. So if you don't cut off your defilement from the latent tendency, anusaya, that means your defilements now is just suppressed. But when the right condition, the right stimuli appear, then you get provoked and your anger appear again. Greed. So also same. Delusion also the same. So now, in order to uproot our defilements at the latent tendency level, you have to cover all. The Buddha says sabba, dhamma, all dhamma, all types of dhamma. All dhamma means actually it refers to all types. So that you don't attach to this type, you attach to some. Some people say, I don't mind, I hurt, I get hurt, but I care about people, I attach to a lot of people. So in order to overcome that kind of craving, holding on to the external object, you need to see even the external object is anicca dukkha anatta. The ultimate reality of the external object is also like that. You need to see up to that level. Okay? So not only external rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vinyana, same. All the five aggregates of clinging are the same. You need to see the true nature of it in order that all the wrong hope, fanciful things, vanish from your mind. I always like to use the word despair. Good despair. Hopeful. Good despair. So that you lose hope on what is actually hopeless. There's no hope to hold on to this far again clinging, to be permanent, to be happy, to be a self. No hope. When you see the nature, when you practice vipassana nature, no way, no matter how you want to change, you cannot change. You cannot reverse the tide. It just happened like that. So this is the power. So feeling also same. Then external, gross and subtle, this you can go Abhidhamma. And gross and subtle, superior, inferior, and then far and near. It's just to cover so that you don't miss out anything. So the idea is like that. Actually, when we practice vipassana, we cover everything. Everything. Past, present, future, present, internal, external. It already covers everything. But if you are interested to go into fine details, you can go into it. You can check out Abhidhamma. Okay? Feelings likewise, perception likewise, and then the volitional formations and the consciousness are the same. So only to root up, to uproot this. This is not my, to another to achieve the wisdom, this is not mine, I'm not that, that's not myself. Why this is so important? Because this is the very fundamental foundation for all defilements to appear. So the Buddha is very scientific. Cut it at the root. If you cut it at the root, finish. No more. Very scientific. And then let's see the last part. What happened to the monks? Okay? Page 32. After the Buddha applied the three ways of talking, expounding the anatta reality. I don't call it doctrine. Some people translate it as a doctrine. I don't like to use it doctrine. Doctrine is more like brainwashing thing. This anatta is no brainwashing. Anatta is true nature. Whether you recognize it or don't recognize the nature is like that. So I would like to say the anatta nature, anatta true nature, instead of anatta doctrine. Don't use the word doctrine. Doctrine is more like brainwashing idea. More like a philosophy. But what the Buddha thought was not philosophy. Science. Even morality and immorality in Buddhism is science. Okay? So now, three aspects of anatta. The first aspect, everyone can understand because it doesn't go according to your wish. So for that reason, know that it is anatta. It is not something that you can force it out. Okay? Then the vipassana, anicca, dukkha, anatta. Okay, you see, yeah? The ultimate realities. Then you practice up to the all cover, all aspect. Past, future, present, internal, external, all aspect of anatta. Nothing is left behind. All types of phenomena are known to be anatta, having anatta nature. So, real despair wisdom. I call it despair. Because no hope. There's no way you can go against it. No hope. So, all the illusion, delusion, and fancies, gone. Now, all the willful thinking, gone. Oh, that's wonderful. That's very beautiful. Very powerful purifying effect. Very, very powerful. Now, okay, let's continue. Finish it first. Then there's further aspect I want to share with you. So the second last paragraph in page 32. Evang pasang bikaya sudo arya sawako rupas mimbi nimindati vedana yapi nimindati sanya yapi nimindati sankare supi nimindati vinyanas mimbi nimindati nimina virajati viraga vimuchati vimutasmi vimutamiti nyano hoti kina jati usitang brahmacharan katang karaniya napara itatayati pajana titi. Seeing thus monks, the learned noble disciple is disenchanted with form, feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness. Disenchanted, he becomes dispassionate. Through passion, dispassion, he's liberated. Being liberated, there is the liberation knowledge thus. He understands, destroy is birth. The holy life has been lived. What had to be done has been done. There is no more for this state of being. No more this any. Because at that time, a noble disciple already realized what is Nibbana. Unconditioned state, not arising and not passing away. So this is done. Yeah. But when we say nothing more to be, all need to be done, usually this expression refers to Arahant. Yeah, refers to Arahant. All has been done. Nothing left to be done. Because this expression, whereby it goes to show that someone has uprooted all defilements that can, that cause you to be reborn again and again. This has been uprooted completely. No more mangoes. No more mangoes, so to speak. And no more producing unwholesome things or causes of suffering and suffering to you. Okay? This is the blessed one. Idang Ocha Bhagava Atamana Panjavagiya Biku Bhagavatu Bhasita Abhinandung. Imas Mincha Panavyakaranasmin Banyamani Panjavagiyana Bikuna Anupadaya Asave Chitani Vungchis Vimungchiking Suti. Vimuching Suti. This is the blessed one said, this, the group of five monks delighted in the blessed one's speech, when this explanation was being spoken, the minds of the group of five monks were liberated through non-attachment from the taints. Means arahantship. Arahantship. This expression refers to arahantship. Now, do you understand anatta? You understand? So anatta, no pain, no suffering. Okay? Can apply? What do you get after you listen to this? What is your feeling? See, there's no self. No need to liberate anybody. No one to be liberated, right? Some people may think like that, huh? Let me tell you, some people just by reading like that, if they don't meditate, if they don't practice up to dependent origination, paticca samuppada, you can still fall into wrong view. Because the imagination about non-self, nothing to do, no one to liberate, nothing to purify, then what happened to you? Are you perfectly pure? No, not easy. And then one mistake can seriously happen. Nothing to do? No. You fall into fatalism. Either you fall into the misconception of no effort to be made, as given what is one kind of wrong view in Brahma Jala Sutta. One kind of wrong view. Fan Wang Jing. Fan Wang Jing. Wrong view. One kind of wrong view. Then it can also happen when you fall, you can also fall in because of this, understand? You can also fall. Yeah, yeah, there's nothing, no one to liberate. Then nothing to make effort. Or you can also fall into fatalism. Since I cannot change it, then the first part of anatta, since I cannot change it, why do? Whatever is, whatever is not, is not. Why should I work hard? And then you forget that you need to work hard. Because the job is not finished. You remember the Buddha at the last part? Only those who have liberated up to that level, they say nothing to do. So if you, before you come to this stage, if you think you have nothing to do, you are misguided. Seriously misguided. Very dangerous. So what is the right understanding of life? What is the true nature of life? Not only anatta. Now, anatta covers all the sankhara and also nibbana. Anatta nature covers conditioned state, sankhara, and unconditioned state, nibbana. That's why in the Dhammapada it says, sabbe sankhara anicca, sabbe sankhara anatta, sabbe sankhara dukkha, sabbe dhamma anatta. Why? Why when it comes to anatta, the Buddha used Dhamma? Because this Dhamma includes Sankara and includes Nibbana. Sankara doesn't include Nibbana. Sankara is the nature that condition and arise and pass away. That is Sankara. But Nibbana is not Sankara. Okay? So that's why we say Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. Okay? Now, the nature of anatta, of if you understand the Sangha as anatta, if you use only thinking wisdom, you may think that nothing can be done. This is not sufficient. In this regards, the knowledge of paticca samuppada comes in. It is indispensable. It is second noble truth. The causes of suffering, cause and effect. See, the nature of seeing nama rupa is there. It doesn't involve time. Not necessarily involve time. But paticca samuppada involve time. Cause and effect. It involves time. It's a different kind of knowledge. Another dimension is involved. So, you cover another dimensions of nature. So you see cause and effect. So, when you see cause and effect, this happened because of this. This happened because of, yes, there's no self there. There's no permanent entity there. But it's still cause and effect. This dispel the idea of fatalism. Oh, I cannot do anything, just take it, whatever, sin is helpless. Sin, I cannot change it. You cannot change rupa, you cannot change feeling, you cannot change perception, you cannot change volitional formations, and you cannot change your consciousness. Hopeless, nothing to do. No, not like that. Because of dependent origination nature, things happen because of conditions. So, let's say you have anger. You want to change this character. You cannot say, come on, oh, don't get angry. Get angry. Because the anusaya not soft. The latent tendency is not conquered. So, not purified. So, you cannot. But at the same time, can you improve your nature to be less angry prone? Can. by cultivating metta, by practicing vipassana, by practicing samatha also, a lot of good help, helpful. Because of that practice, you are mixing this new condition. You see, in life phenomena, whether you are happy, rich, long life, short life, all these phenomena happen because of conditions. Past and present. Past condition, karma, whatever, and then present condition, your dhamma, your attitude, your response, everything, all these conditions come together. So since like that, and this condition, you cannot control everything, right? Let's say your past karma, can you control? Can you say, oh, last time in the past, you killed your father, mother? Can you say, oh, undone, undo it? No, not possible. You cannot undo what is there. The forces is there. The energy is there. So what can you do? You cultivate new cause in it. Let's say life release, jivita dana, you cultivate. So when you cultivate that, your combination of your conditions change. You cannot upright take away everything and put in a fresh one. No, no. But you can mix in something pure, purifying quality in it. So because of mixing purifying quality, then the total mass of your conditions, so to speak, I don't know how to use a perfect language, but the totality change. More mixing in. So it is not so bitter, not so painful when it ripened. Not so painful. So because of that, you are changing your life. So dependent origination is very special. If fatalism is different, fatalism you cannot change. Fix. At what age you need to die, at what age you need to marry, at what age, everything is fixed. That's fatalism, suming. But this is not, this is yuanqi, paticca-samuppada, because of conditions. So you just need to, you cannot master it completely, and yet it is not completely helpless. You can add in a new condition, you add in metta, love, compassion, loving kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, equanimity, and slowly your life change. So, that is why before the Lord Buddha passed away, he gave the last word he said is, what? Vaya Dhamma Sankara Apamadena Sampadeta. Monks, all conditioned states are bound to perish. Including our life, everything. All conditioned states are bound to perish. So what did the Buddha mean by saying this? Please don't cry. The Buddha is going to pass away. All conditioned states are going to perish. So don't cry. Accept this nature of helplessness. You cannot help it. They will perish. They arise and pass away. This is the message of the Buddha. But the Buddha didn't stop here. Because by saying this can only comfort you to a certain extent. But not sufficient to liberate you completely until you penetrate nature thoroughly enough. So the Buddha know in front of him, there were still Sotapan, Sakadagami who cry for his death, for his parinibbana. So what the Buddha said? Appamadena sampadeta. Strive on heedfully. Your job is not done. Strive on heedfully. So not by knowing that all conditioned states are bound to perish is you can be liberated. Not sufficient. You need to meditate. You need to practice sila samadhi panya. You need to go through the seven purification as given in Visuddhimagga. And then you conquer and be liberated. Okay? So, in our life, you can apply your anatta knowledge based on your level. Okay, for those who have practiced up to vipassana, then you just practice. Let's say when you feel hurt, or you feel your ego is there, hindering you to learn from someone, You cannot humble down. Okay? Observe. If you can see your true nature or anicca dukkha anatta, and all the true nature, all the ultimate realities and the causes and effect, and even the causes are impermanent suffering non-self, the effect also impermanent suffering non-self. If you apply your vipassana, you see the nature of this anatta. Even you enter that state for 1 second, the next moment you open your eyes, you are like this entangled yourself from the bondage of defilements that push you to do the wrong thing, to act in the wrong way, to think in the wrong way, to speak in the wrong way. That's for people who have the bhavana maya panya, means the second portion of the Buddha's teaching about anatta, and the third portion. These are bhavana maya panya. The first portion actually can have a sambhavana, but mainly is also applicable to chinta maya panya and sutta maya panya. Okay? At 3 level of wisdom. So, you apply whatever level you can. Your level knowledge, your level of anatta knowledge. Okay? You apply your level of anatta knowledge. Let's say if you really cannot apply the vipassana one, never mind. If people who have the vipassana, they can just, if they can call up this anatta knowledge just like that, then even for 1 second, it's very powerful. But if you cannot, not always you can. It requires some maintenance of concentration. If you maintain concentration well, you can call up quickly. If you don't maintain your concentration well, not so easy. Then you can apply this reflective knowledge, chinta maya panya. Okay? Reflect on anatta lakkhana sutta. Oh, the Buddha say, reflect on the teaching, the Buddha. Oh, this vedana anatta, vedana chayidam vikai atta adava visa. Abhavisa, naidang vedana abhadaya sangvateya, labheta cha vedanaya, evang me vedana hotu, evang me vedana maho siti. Oh, like that. You see, this is happening to me. The Buddha already said so. It's happening to me. So obvious. What the Buddha said is manifesting in front of me, in front of my eyes, in front of my mind. Jasma chako bikave vedana anatta. Tasma vedana abhadaya sangvatati nachalabhati vedana ya evang me vedana hotu evang me vedana maho siti. So if you reflect like that, reflect. Oh, this is true. This is true. This is true. What happened to your mind? Wisdom arise. Okay? You cannot have trouble with people. You see, many people, they come to learn Dhanama, they still point their fingers outside. You make me unhappy. You are doing wrong. This is doing wrong. You are doing wrong. You are doing wrong. Yeah, people can come into the monastery and create a lot of defilements. Why? Atta. Atta diti. Sakaya diti. The body. Because of that only. Because of, you look at internally like that, you look at externally like that. So you get a lot of defilements. But if you apply even anatta knowledge, even in the chinta maya panya level, you'll notice that even if you fall into defilements, you can recover quickly. Even you already point fingers at it, you realize, I also feel bad, Even when the teacher, I teach you, don't be judgmental, don't criticize other people, mind your own business, purify your mind. But sometimes you all cannot do it. So if you cannot do it, after all the constant repetitive teaching of the teacher, you cannot do it. Why? Because it is not self. You need to, your input into the condition is not sufficient. Your input of anatta jnana is not sufficient. Yeah. So but you don't give up. Keep doing it again and again and again and again until the condition of wisdom is mature enough and strong enough. Then you find that you can recover faster and faster from defilements. Then you find the less urge or the impulse to point fingers at other people. Never mind. Then you find that you are a very embracing character. You can embrace a lot of imperfections. You know? You can be very forgiving. You get unshakable. Your mind get unshakable. Not easily hurt. That is beautiful Dhamma power. That's very wonderful. So this Anatta Lakkhana Sutta alone happens so much. It's so powerful. Just Chintamaya Panya level already can make your life a happy life. What more to say when you practice this Anatta knowledge to the experiential insight level, Vipassana level? That is wonderful. That is very wonderful. And what more to say if you practice that Vipassana up to the Magga-Jnana level? The level that uproot defilements without remainder. There are four levels. First, second, third, fourth. For example, the first stage, Sotapatti Magga-Jnana, or uproot Sakkaya Ditti, Vichikicca, Silabata. The kind of wrong understanding of the wrong practice, that is completely uprooted. Then if the third stage of sainthood, completely all the sensual lust, greed, and all the anger, jealousy, everything done, gone. And then if arahat, arahatamaga, then even the conceit and pride is gone. But, well, you may say, well, that's too far. Well, at your level best, by your level best, at your level, if you can do, apply. Don't wait. Some people say, oh, to overcome conceit and pride, I need to wait until I already arahant ship. No, I'm not arahant. Okay, never mind. A little bit of conceit is okay. If you think like that, you progress very slowly. You hinder yourself in your journey, in your Dhamma practice. Don't do that. You can apply Anatta Lakkhana Sutta knowledge teaching moment to moment. If you can reduce your pride and conceit by 1 second, you liberate your mind at that second. You purify for that second. How wonderful it is. Moment to moment. So that the gross defilements that oppress us, hinder us in our journey can be reduced. Isn't it good? Yes. You practice more at ease, more comfortably. You progress. So, please apply this Anatta Lakkhana Sutta knowledge starting today. Don't wait until sometime in future. Okay? You get it, Lipe? You are very smiling and happy. She's smiling, I hope you get it. I hope it helps you for your EQ, emotional intelligence. Sometimes you cry a lot, Cry. Always, someone hurt you, right? Now you know, you got the answer. But they give this speech, this Dhamma talk, especially for you and for not only you, actually many people suffer from that. Actually, Bhante also not perfect in this, but fast to recover. Sometimes because of our habitual tendency, very quick, defilement, it's pure. But if you don't indulge in your defilements, the moment you remember this, you can recall to mind faster and faster, swifter and swifter. If you keep applying this again and again, the moment you fall into the defilement, you wake up immediately. And then the defilement stops. That's wonderful enough. Actually, I say, for people who are mindful and don't indulge in defilements, usually those defilements cannot linger more than 3 seconds. So don't give yourself excuse. If your defilement linger more than 3 seconds, something that means you are not doing your job as a yogi, as a Dharma practitioner. Don't. It should not. No defilement should linger more than 3 seconds. Yeah. But for those who are very swift in mindfulness, not even more than 1 second. But sometimes, if you don't maintain your mindfulness, it takes a bit slow the response. But it's okay. But if three seconds, you can lift yourself out of the mud of defilements. Yeah, it's great enough. Yeah. That's good progress. Okay. Okay, huh? So do you also want to resign? No resign. Stay back here, huh? Yeah, Dharma Earth loves you. All of us love you. Don't resign, huh? Ah. You want to run away because run away from a training, huh? You want to go out, can you want to marry? Oh, it's okay, yeah. But make sure you go out as a strong lady, yeah. Okay, huh? Today's Dharma talk is for you. No lah, for everybody, yeah. For everybody. I just want her to sink deeper into her mind only. Everyone need this, not only Li Pei, everyone need this. Wisdom of Anatta, huh? Okay, let's share memories, make wish, and share memories, huh? Okay. Yidang me punyang asawa kaya wahang hutu. Yidang me punyang nibana sa pachayo hutu. Mama punya bagang sabba satanang bajemi. Te sabbe me samang punya bagang labandu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.